Greetings, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Sunday morning, Holy Trinity, which I'd rather just go sit down. Some Sundays you get up and you're like, who am I to talk about something like this? I'm not. Let's pray the Lord does. But anyways, we're going to be reading from the Gospel of John, and we're going to read from chapter 1. And we're going to read the first five verses. If you're willing and able, please rise for the reading of a gospel text. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, continuing in Jesus' name. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. Please be seated. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is Your Word that is before us. To speak on a subject that is so powerful, that is so, if we could say in honesty, Lord, bewildering for our minds, is difficult. Because often, Lord, when we make decisions, we try to usurp Your position. But allow us in humbleness to receive this word. And allow us to understand and know that You know all things. And we are Your children. We ask that You would sanctify us in the truth, because, Father, this word is truth. We ask this in His name. Amen. Very first time I ever preached in my life, it was in January 2nd, many, many years ago. I'd say probably 17 years ago, maybe even longer than that, because I was in seminary, so it was probably 18 years ago. In Bruce Crossing, Michigan. And I find it interesting that when I get to a text like this, you may think that I'm very confident, you know, because we all have our facades. But it's not easy to stand in front of a vial of people and share something that you fully in your flesh don't understand. You receive this understanding of Trinity by faith. It is a gift of God to be able to understand it. And honestly, I'm very confident in the understanding of Trinity, because God has revealed to me so many times whenever I'm reading Scripture or going through Scripture how it just comes out. But probably, let's just say for a number, 18 years ago, and I know it was January 2nd because it was my daughter's birthday. It was an icy day, and I had been asked to preach in Bruce Crossing. I had never preached before. I did not go to seminary to become a preacher. I went to seminary because, honestly, there was questions that I had. I had served on church boards. I have served in Sunday school. I was a chairman of Painesdale under Jay Wagner for a while. And I felt that I was ill-equipped to be able to lead anybody. So my battle in the flesh was, I'm going to seminary just to become an educated board member. The first time that I was asked to even do a prayer in Painesdale, I paced the floor of our little mobile home in Tapiola like crazy. Because what do I say? What do I have to offer? And my wife said, you don't have anything to offer. Ask God to lead you. And Pastor Jay put it very, very gently to me. He said, what's wrong with you? Don't you know you're just talking to your father? Well, sometimes that wasn't always easy in my earthly life either, talking to my father. But he was a loving father. So to actually go down to Bruce Crossing, and I'll waste your time with this story, but it's important. And I went down there. And I was nervous. I had all my kids in the Suburban. We got down there, and I walked through the doors, and there's Sandy Mackey. She walks up to me, and she says, "You the PASA?" She always says PASA. Still calls me that to this day. I said, "I guess I am." She goes, "All right, are you a pulpit or a pocket person?" I said, what do you mean? Where do you put your hands when you're preaching? Do you put them in your pockets? Because it makes a difference where we put the microphone. Or do you put them on the pulpit? Well, look at me now. How far have I come? I'm a wanderer. I said, "I don't know." She goes, "What do you mean you don't know?" I said, "I've never preached before." She goes, "Ever?" I said, "Ever." She goes, "Well, you have your sermon written, right?" I'm like, "No." The main reason is because if I wrote it, I wouldn't be able to read it. There was a gentleman, very neat gentleman. He hardly ever stayed for church. He would drop his wife off at the door, and he'd walk her in, and then he'd leave. When he heard that I had never preached before, that I was going to preach today, he said, "This one I got to hear." And he stayed. Maybe this is good for you youth to understand too, because there's not a lot of people feeling called to the ministry. All my life I struggled. I struggled on what I want to do. I wanted to be a big contractor. Never was good at it. I built many homes up here in the UP, never made money. I'm not complaining, it's just the way it was. I wasn't a good businessman. I tried sales. Never starved, never made it. I tried all kinds of things in my life. So I get up to the pulpit not knowing what I'm going to say. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18 was the message that I preached. I stood behind that pulpit, and luckily someone warned me, you can't lean on it, because in Bruce Crossing, it's a desk with a sheet over it and a little podium thing on top. Some of our churches, they don't have a lot. Powerful words have come across that desk and that sheet. I got up there, and I prayed that God would fill my mouth, and I was able to preach. And it was the first time in my entire life, and I was 30-something years old with 4 children, that I felt this is what I was called to do. And today is a day where I don't know what I'm going to say about Trinity. But the one thing that I do know and I do understand is that God is the one to give the words, and he is the one to proclaim, and he is the one that we are to receive our strength from. So if you're struggling in what you should be doing in your life, if you're struggling even as a young individual, what's the career? Maybe even being in the ministry isn't like a great calling to some people. God can use all of us, and he will provide exactly what you need. And the beautiful part about this is bringing it in on a Trinity Sunday. You have a force behind you and even in front of you, if you could say it that way. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit that is on your side. In reality, you have a powerful army that will work for you. So, dealing with that, we come across this great text here. This comes back all the way, if you could say it to this way, of Genesis. See, oftentimes when we go to Genesis, we think, well, that's only back in the Old Testament. But actually, when we look at this text, this gives us a powerful indication of how God desired for restoration for each and every one of us. That even though he had created this earth, even though it had gone through trials, it had gone through such circumstances where sin was so rampant that there was actually floods that came upon the earth to try to clean it out, it didn't take care of the problem. Something more had to come in. Something greater had to take the place of that great sacrifice for us. And why I speak this way is because I pray and earnestly pray that each and every one of us could understand the value, not the pride, but the value that we have as the children of God, that he sees us, that he knows us, he has a purpose for us. And that in reality, whether we're working in business fields, whether we're working in hospitals, whether we're working in ministries, or whatever it may be, God has a value for each and every one of us, and he will destine our path if we would look to him, if we would ask him. And one of my weaknesses, if we would listen. Not yammer, Jesse's a talker. A But maybe we got to listen. So he brings us all the way back to Genesis. John comes across, and it's kind of his book is unique in this way. He doesn't go through the birth of Christ. He doesn't do any of that stuff. He brings it all the way home. And so he says, in the beginning was the Word. And I love this because it comes out so singular here that there was nothing else. What word is he even speaking of? Well, if we go back to Genesis, how did God create things? He spoke it. Yesterday, I was honored or able to have a wedding for one of my brother's employees. He had someone else that was going to do the wedding for him, and that person had to back out, so therefore he needed someone to, you know, fill in. I'm a good fill-in, so. Anyways, and one of the things that I brought out in that wedding message that I feel is so important, and any of you that have been married and are married understand this, is communication. The power of communication. Communication is beautiful. It's wonderful. Words have power. Words have impact. God created everything by speaking it into place. We also in our lives have the ability to build up people with words or tear them down with words. We need to understand words have impact. We live in a world that doesn't even seem to make sense anymore. We live in a world, especially when we look at the worldly things or the governmental things, we have people that are up there voicing whatever they want and thinking they have no consequences. Doesn't matter if it's true or not, we say it, then they'll forget about it. But for the Christian, that should never be. Words have integrity, they have impact, they have a lot of meaning to them. And so words are powerful. So in the beginning, the very beginning of all things, it says that God in reality was there. The Word was there. And then he says very plainly, and the Word, this Word, and this is very strongly bringing to Jesus Christ, this Word was with God. But then he makes another statement. This Word was God. How in the world does that take place? Pastor, give me an example where you say that we can see Trinity throughout the Scripture without the word Trinity. How many places in the Scripture do you find that you can see Jesus when he enters into an area that people fall and worship before him? It even says it in the Scripture. They worshiped him. There's actually quite a few. In the New Testament, there's quite a few that you can actually find in every one of the books. When does Jesus say, I'm not worthy, get up? He never does. Worship means to ascribe worth to something. And he receives that worship because he is worthy to receive it. He is God. We know the first commandment, don't we? We teach it in our Sunday schools. We teach it in our confirmation. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If Jesus the Christ was not God, then why would he receive worship? He would be jealous of his own son. And what does Scripture say? A house divided against itself cannot stand. But go on the other side of that. How many times in Scripture, all the way up into Revelation, can we find where there is a man such as Peter or an angel or an elder, and they fall down when they encounter him and they want to worship him, and they say, get up. Get up, because we are men just like you, and we are not to be worshipped. There is a great difference when you actually read the Scriptures with your heart and your mind open to be able to see God at work. So he says very plainly, in the beginning we understand this. There was the Word, and the Word was with God, present there in all creation, in all understanding. He says, why? Because the Word was God. Was God. And he says, really? He wasn't created. He says, from the very beginning, he was present there. He was present with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Do we understand that? That in other words, now you have the presence of Christ Jesus there, that all things were made through him also. Jesus says very plainly in the same gospel, in the Gospel of John, he says, without me, you can do nothing. Because he is the creator of all things. Why is this so important? Well, I think it was just a week or two ago that we were talking about Philip when he desired to see the Father. And he was like, just show us the Father, Jesus, and that'll suffice us. How many times do we have that tendency as human beings? I talked about it in that last sermon. Man, if I could just sit down and have coffee with God. If I could just see him. But really, he says to Philip, I've been with you this whole time. And you don't know me? There's no separation here for Jesus. You don't know part of me? He doesn't say that. You can't recognize the Father in me? He doesn't say that. We worship a living God. We don't worship a historical Christ. We don't worship an imaginary God. In reality, we worship and understand and know that our Lord, who came to this earth and spent time amongst us, Emmanuel, and he actually took upon himself. You know, one of the statements that I have a hard time saying, he became sin. I don't like that statement, and maybe that's definition. He was sinless, but he took it upon himself. He bared it upon his shoulders because he loves you. This is the value that I would love for each and every one of us to grasp, especially in a world that we live in with chaos and wondering what gender we are and wondering what side of the fence we're on. All these other things. We lose sight of who we are as the children of God, that we are precious and that we are redeemed by his blood. This is what confuses the religions of the world. The religions of the world look around and say, what God dies for this creation? How can a God die? When we build something, and I've told you this before, but when we build something, we build a great monument. Maybe sometimes we would say, oh, I'd lay down my life for that. But actually, myself in my clinical mind or my rational mind, I'd say, no, I can build another one. God could have built anything he wanted. He could have let it all go and started fresh. But he desires us. He desires you. We need to shut off the talking heads. We need to shut off society for a moment. I'm not saying cut ourselves out. And to stop and realize the value that we have before God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Not only did he create us, not only did he give us the opportunity, I'm going to say it this way, the opportunity to fail. He gave us the opportunity and paid the penalty for our redemption. He wasn't done with us. Do you see why I speak about purpose? I'm not talking about some book. And I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm talking to the heart of the matter of faith, that God loves you and I so much, and this world in reality, that he has taken it upon himself to bring restoration. Maybe if God would get a Facebook or a Twitter account, we'd listen more. Because often Jesse, in his humanness, that's where he gets his information. How many of you, and you don't have to show me your hands or nothing, I just want you to think about it. How many of you click on your Facebook thing every morning and actually say to yourself, why do I do this? I do. In fact, if I didn't do this live broadcast here, and if it can reach one single person, I'll continue doing it, I'd get rid of Facebook. But I get up in the morning and I click, always hoping maybe some good news will come. Or at least a good bargain from Houghton Keweenaw County stuff for sale. But God has a purpose and a desire for restoration for each and every one of us. And he has the same desire with the world. He was there when he created everything. He was there from the very beginning. All things in reality, nothing came into existence without Christ knowing. What this also shares to me very powerfully is Christ knew what it would take to redeem it. And he was still willing to come. He was still willing to come. It says nothing was made that was made through him, or without him. And then he says something that I think is so powerful. And this is not gender segregated. This is men and women, all human beings. Ha-Adam, the human, okay? In him, in Jesus, was life. This is where true life is found. God breathed life into Adam. And then we understand by the fall, then now he was destined to death. He says, but he came back again, and in Christ was life. He says, and really, this life is the light of men. This is what keeps us going. This is what allows us to be ambassadors of his gospel. This is what allows us to enter into this world of darkness, if we could use that description, as a light. Does Jesus ever use this anywhere? He absolutely does. He sits there and he tells his followers and his disciples, he says, in reality, you are the lights to the world. You are. You enter out into this world and you bring light. He says, and when someone lights a candle, he says, they don't take and put it underneath a bushel in their house. They take that candlestick, right, and they put it on the table so that the whole room can be illuminated. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, that's who we are as believers. We are the lights to the world in the world of darkness. We are the encouragers, all by the power of his word, by the power of his spirit, and through the redemption of his blood. We are equipped to enter into this world as a hope. As a hope. Jesus knew what it take to give us that hope. He knew he'd have to enter into this earth. He knew that he would have to dwell among men. He knew that he would exemplify his love. And I say his love because sometimes we turn around and decipher between God's love and Jesus' love. No, his love for us. Philip, don't you know me? And he knew that he would be abused. If someone makes a bad comment about one of my sermons, I'm all hurt for a week, right? But Jesus knew what he would have to go through. That he would go, in reality, to the cross. And it wasn't like, just take this guy and, okay, you're going to be on death sentence, we're going to just kill you. No. They beat him. They taunted him. They tempted him. They dragged him. They hung him. They mocked him. And yet the scripture says he willingly went to the cross. For the joy that was set before him. We are the joy. The children are his joy. Can you relate to this at all? Have you struggled in your financial life for your kids? Have you struggled at all with your time issues for your kids? Have you put things off so that your kids could do something else? That is an earthly example of the power of Christ giving everything up for us. Maybe we don't have children yet. Have you done it for your family? For your brother, your sister, your friend, your girlfriend? Have you sacrificed in a small way? That's but a taste of what Jesus has done for us. And I say these things because we need to understand this is God fully encompassed. He loves us. And he desires for restoration for each and every one of us. In him was this life, and this life is really the guidance or the light of men. This is what keeps us alive, keeps us going. That's why Jesus makes that statement, without me you can do nothing. And then he says something that I think is so powerful if we would but just trust this word. In the beginning was the word. Trust the word. He says, the light. The light shines in darkness. I'm sure many of us, you know, we use this often as an example, but it's just a good one. Many of us can't even imagine real, true darkness until we go down to that Quincy mine hoist, and I've only done it once. But they bring you down to the bottom, right, and they shut off the lights. That's dark. And you light a candle, and you always think, how can those guys work with just a candle on their hat? But I'll tell you what, when you're in pitch black darkness, even that small light is such a welcome thing. It illuminates the whole cave. Brothers and sisters, we may only have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, but Jesus says that's enough. Even that small amount of light in this darkened world, whether it be political, whether it be social, whether it be health-wise, our small light can be such an encouragement to those around us. Don't think there won't be people that resist it. I'll give you an example of that too. You know, you're laying in bed, you're sleeping so well, and then, you know, your wife, she's getting up and she says, oh, I got to get ready, and she turns on that spotlight on the ceiling. And what do you do? Right away, what are you doing? You're covering your eyes, it's too much. I always yell at my wife about that, you know. She's got to have that spotlight on. I hate lights like that. I like softer. But you need to get used to it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, is it any different in this world? That when we enter in and we are a light of Christ, that people aren't quite used to it, but give them time. Be consistent with it, and they will in reality receive it. And see, this light is pretty beneficial. Jesse's not stubbing his toe anymore. He's not stumbling to the bathroom. There's a lot of people that are stubbing their toes in this world, and they're afraid of the light because they don't understand it. And the light that I'm speaking of is Christ Jesus. We have an opportunity to share it with them and allow their eyes to become acclimated so that they can see things of faith, see things of hope. Sometimes Jesse just wants to get bigger floodlights and reveal it all. No. That still small voice and the power of his spirit, the power of his word, the power of the redemption of his blood is what we bring to this world. Just because we're in 2022 doesn't mean that we're so far forward that we don't need the simplicity, the power, I'll say, but the simplicity of the gospel. It's so needed. We look at a lot of the meetings that we see on TV and all this stuff about abortion and everything else like that, and it is horrible. I'm going to say it. Whether you like my opinion or not, doesn't matter. But shoving things down their throat and screaming at them isn't going to change a thing. But love, hope, peace, by the power of the Spirit, through God the Father, by the finished work of Jesus Christ, will encourage one by one all the more. How did we get here? 2,000 some odd years later after Christ's resurrection. Mouth to mouth, word to word, story to story. Why are you here today? Someone didn't shove religion down your throat, I hope. Men have screwed up. I've screwed up. But the power of his word, the power of his spirit, and the love of the body is what encourages us. The light shines in the darkness. We are that light through Christ. And what I really love about this, King James says, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. That's why I enjoy different translations. We got to learn not to get so upset over, you know, because we have some that are King Jimmy only kind of people, and that's fine. I'm not making fun of it. I understand they're trying to keep integrity. But when I say the word to you, comprehend, most people take the term of don't understand it. Light came into the world and the darkness can't understand it. No, that's not what the word means in Old English. What the word means really is what it says here, overtake it. The light of Christ in our lives beaming out into the world in reality means that darkness cannot overtake it. It can't win. That's why we need to continue in the Spirit, in the work of God, by that Spirit and through that redemption that we receive in Christ Jesus, to enter this world as lights so that people can see. That's a promise. We may not understand a lot about Trinity, but what my prayer would be for each and every one of you, because I try to encourage you, 5 minutes a day, read your Scripture. 5 minutes a day, listen to your Scripture. Listen to how many places you will find the Trinity within that word. That to me is so powerful. God is good. May we continue to worship Him. May we continue to praise Him. May we continue to enjoy the simplicity of the powerful message of redemption through Christ Jesus. As we come here today at this communion rail, we come here acknowledging not a symbol, in my opinion. You got to work this out in your own heart. But because of the word that Jesus speaks, the power of that word, we come here to partake of Him. That redemption, that truth. But that's another area where sometimes we get into our thoughts and our ways. And I remember another statement that I shouldn't say Pastor Jay, but I'll say it one more time. He used to say to us, isn't it amazing how often God thinks just like you? And if God thinks just like you, then who is God? In my humanness, I have to say, me. May we repent from that. May we turn from that. And may we allow His word to hold the integrity, to hold the truth. May we, even as a child that waits at Christmas for Santa to come, be in awe over the promises of God's word to each and every one of us. Believe it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Communion, I'm in song. You guys get up and sing. And then I do the altar book.